Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. My first guest tonight is Sue Abderholden. Get it right. I know her. I know I could get it right, Sue. Abderholden. She's the executive director at NAMI Minnesota. Well, who is NAMI Minnesota? Well, of course, we know that they are the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And we've talked with her before, and I'm excited to have her join us tonight. And she joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. It is so great to have you back, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
So much going on, so little time, it seems, to heal from it all. And I'm wondering how you're doing.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, it's been a tough year for me, and of course for many people as well. People might not know I lost my husband a little over a year ago, and so, you know, I think I can really understand what people have gone through, especially during the pandemic with so many lives lost.
I am so sorry to hear of your loss, and I've been through some loss myself, and it's just, it's hard to shake, but I know that what you do at NAMI is an incredibly important job, and I'm grateful that you're still there. And of course, last month, tragedy struck at the Shields located inside Eden Prairie Center. I'm sure you know about that. And according to police reports, a young man went into the sporting goods store, asked to see a handgun, then took off. He allegedly loaded his own ammunition into the gun and shot himself in an apparent suicide. When I heard this story, my heart broke. And I'm just curious to know, when you heard this story, did you feel as though NAMI wasn't present enough, or maybe people didn't turn to you fast enough because you knew that there must have been some type of mental illness that was happening in this man's heart and head?
Yes, I mean, and my heart just goes out to the family and for people who had to respond to his death as well. I mean, that's never easy. And we do know that, you know, either someone is, you know, has a mental illness, there's maybe depression, or there's some crisis that occurred, you know, an argument, a breakup, you know, a divorce. You know, at some point, we know sexual or physical abuse can play a role. Someone's a little bit more vulnerable at this point. And so I was very saddened to hear this. Absolutely.
It seems as though we just don't pay attention enough. Even with your organization, it almost feels like a lot of people think, okay, there are organizations that can handle this sort of thing. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. And that, to me, is sad, because I think we all learn. We've been hearing about guns, you know, for years now. And it's so frustrating because nothing seems to be getting done. And I'm just curious to know, how does NAMI handle a situation like this? How do you talk about it?
Well, what we want people to know is that suicide is preventable. And certainly we can look for those warning signs, right? You know, changes in habits and things like that. But the other thing is, we also need to look at how can we restrict access to the means that people use to take their own life. And what we know about suicide, especially, frankly, when guns are used, is that there's an impulsivity that's there. And that often, you know, people are thinking about suicide and then they decide to take their own life. And one of the studies actually showed that 24% of the people said that it was less than 5 minutes between when they thought about taking their own life and when they attempted it. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about how can we, you know, prevent those few minutes, right? What can we do to make it harder? And so we certainly talk about gun locks, right? That makes it much harder. Certainly separating the ammunition from the guns. Sorry, I don't know who is calling me on my home phone. Which never rings. The marketers are really heavy tonight.
No. Some friend of yours is calling, going, "You sound great." that could be it.
Well, and you know, actually, the Veterans Hospital also had this really brilliant idea. It was called Freeze the Keys. And so what you would do is you would take the keys to your gun locks, right, your cabinet, and you would put them in this little container, and you would fill the container with water and put it in your freezer. Now, certainly, you know, if you're hunting the next day, you take it out so that, you know, it can defrost and you can use your keys. But if in a moment of despair, it's going to take a little while. You can't put it in the microwave, right, because it's metal, and it's going to take a little while to actually defrost it. So it really is, you know, kind of a way, again, we call it means restriction education. What was interesting is that in New Hampshire, they actually did a whole project on this, and it was called the gun shop. And they worked with, you know, gun owners and gun shops and target, you know, places, all those kinds of things to come together to really educate people about the warning signs of suicide, when someone might be vulnerable, and what you can do to keep access to those lethal means, you know, very restricted.
So many Americans have more than one gun, that's for sure. And I'm terrified at the number of guns that we have here in our country. Now, according to the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence, 3 out of every 5 gun deaths is ruled a suicide. That is just tragic to hear. I'm moved to tears over that when I read it earlier. So I'm wondering what efforts are being made to bring those numbers down.
So it's interesting. In Minnesota, actually, the number is higher. So the preliminary data that they were looking at is that 70 to 80% of firearm deaths in Minnesota are actually due to suicide. And so what we're seeing is, like in Minnesota, the Department of Public Safety, they're using some of the federal funds to actually give out gun locks. They had 10,000 of them that I think they distributed all of them at the state fair. And we're going to be partnering with them to talk about, there's an actual class called CALM, and it's about means restriction education. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if someone shows up in an emergency room, and perhaps they've attempted or they're feeling suicidal, right, that we educate people actually about restricting access to lethal means.
Hmm. It is just, I don't know, it feels like we're not moving any closer to a way to stop it all. I don't know if it's the laws that need to be changed, but there are so many guns. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it okay to bring a gun as long as it was obvious, as long as the people could see it and check it when they came through the gate? Am I wrong with that?
I'm not sure about that one, to be honest. But you know, we actually have quite a few laws in Minnesota, that restricts access to guns. You know, so if someone's been involved and has a felony, a domestic violence misdemeanor, if they've been committed, you know, for a mental illness, you can't own a gun. Now, some states have done what they call red flag laws. when we look at, you know, kind of nationwide about access to guns, Minnesota's rate in terms of gun death rates are actually pretty low compared to some other states. Ours is 6.0. Idaho is 15.1.
That's remarkable. And of course, you know, the murders that have been happening in our state has just escalated.
Right.
And that's right. Frustrating. So I'm just curious to know, what can you tell us tonight? Tell our listeners that would calm folks down, because they know that these things are happening. We're reading the articles when it happens, or we're listening to the radio. And some people cocoon in their homes where they feel safe. They will not be the ones, if they have guns, they won't be the ones, if they're terrified, they're not going to be the ones to freeze a gun, because they're worried that if they need it in the middle of the night, they won't be able to use it.
Right, right. You know, again, though, it should be really locked up. You know, I know this is hard, but we want to make sure that no one, again, at a time of distress, takes that gun and takes their own life. And, you know, I think when we look at the statistics and things like that, you know, homicides are actually, you know, pretty low compared to suicide deaths. And the homicide rate has actually, while it seems like it's up, it's really down from like 1974. And so I think we just have to think about, are there some things that we can do, though, to really keep people safe? What we know is when we look at, you know, who's dying by suicide, it's prevalent in rural areas, men, American Indians, and Alaska Natives. But what we're also seeing in the last couple of years is that younger people, it's increasing, people of color, actually, and again, continuing to increase in rural areas where there tends to be more guns.
That's remarkable. I know in your mission, it talks about, you talk about through education, support, and advocacy, you strive to effect positive changes in the mental health system and increase the public and professional understanding of mental illness, illnesses. And I am always surprised at how little we know about mental illnesses, unless you have someone in your family and you've been well educated on how or what to look for, that sort of thing. But so many of us really don't know how difficult the work is that you do, especially when it comes to suicide. And we know here in the great state of Minnesota, many people carry guns, and many people are afraid not to go without those guns on a daily basis. You know, every day. So yeah. It really, I love that you are trying to do this through education, support, and advocacy. Is it working?
You know, I do think it is. One of the things we've seen, frankly, during the pandemic is that people are much more aware of anxiety and depression because most people experienced it, right? Even if it was just for a week or two during the pandemic. And we know that the actual rates have increased significantly. We're seeing employers for really the first time saying, what can we do to support the mental health of our employees? Even looking at things like their health plans to make sure that they have easy access to the mental health treatment that people need and deserve. So there's more conversation, honestly. I mean, I've been with NAMI, it'll be 21 years next month, and the level of conversation and I think awareness is higher than ever. And I think that's a good thing. We need to talk about it. We can't just be quiet about it.
Well, I've learned my lesson. I have, you know, I used to get on stage and perform, and I would always pick out some guy in the audience close up, and I'd say, you know, you want to come up and dance with me, or you want to come up and sing with me, and it would be just a funny thing to do. But I've learned that there are people that may be in the audience who may have some of these struggles. And if you pick that particular person, then you better be careful, because you need to be educated to know exactly what to say or what to do. That I learned.
I think you raise a really good point. You know, a lot of us have taken first aid or CPR, and we need to do the same thing around mental health and suicide prevention. There's a class that's 90 minutes called QPR. It's evidence-based, question, persuade, and refer. We offer it online for free, you know, virtually at least once a month. And, of course, this is Suicide Prevention Month, so it's a good time for people to, you know, kind of access that kind of training. But we all need to know what to say and what to do.
What to say and what to do. Do you offer classes?
Yes, for free. In person, but a lot virtually, especially, you know, because of the pandemic. And we also offer support groups led by peers. So there are ones for people who live with a mental illness that are led by people with mental illness, ones for family members that are run by family members. And, you know, these can be tough situations. So talking to people who've been there, done that, right, can be really, really helpful.
So have you reached out to... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, so do you ever reach out to theaters and clubs in town to maybe see if you can, you know, get them to know how to find someone in the audience, to know what it is that is happening and be educated on it so that they could have the right reaction to it? There are so many of us on the stage in this great state of ours, and I worry that now that I understand how this works, I worry about enough of us, just the artists alone, enough of us knowing what to do if an incident happens in the audience. I suggest training. And I'm just saying, you can charge me. Yes. Train me. Seriously.
You know, we're happy to come out and do the training for free. You know, when we do talk about, you know, kind of mental health in the workplace or mental health, we can do it mental health in the theater so that people kind of understand, you know, what those things are. But again, we've had Target stores have us come out to talk about, you know, how to help their guests who might be struggling or having a mental health crisis. So these are things that we can do. And again, if we know what to do, we know how to de-escalate the situation, we know how to help someone, that's what we need to do. You know, if we restrict access to lethal means, you know, if someone attempts once, the chances of them attempting again is very little. 9 out of 10 will not attempt again. And so if we save this life today, we may have saved them for the rest of their life.
Oh, my goodness. I am so happy that you came on tonight, Sue. Sue Abderholden, Executive Director of NAMI Minnesota. If you don't know who they are, please send them to your website. What is it?
Which is NAMIMNForMinnesota.org.
That's NAMIMN.org. It's been a pleasure, Sue. You take care of yourself.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on again.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.